A Maundy Thursday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 8, 1993, in the series Job and Jesus, The Mystery of Human Suffering, entitled Suffering, The Need for Another. The scripture reading is Luke 22, verses 14 through 23. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
We can bear just about anything if we're not alone. We can go through just about any valley if there's someone to walk with us. Unless, of course, we happen to be accompanied by friends like Job had in his deep valley. We call them miserable comforters because although they started out well by sitting silently for 7 days and simply being present to Job, they could not keep silence once Job began to reveal the intensity and the depths and the darkness of the anguish that he was experiencing. That's the test of a friend. If you can just absorb all of that pain and darkness that sometimes erupts out of the human heart when it's in the intensity of the dark night of the soul. Job's friends couldn't do that. They began to protest against Job's cries to heaven and his cries against heaven. And I suppose that it is because of the experience of a Job, for example, that most of us live lives of quiet desperation, not really revealing who we are, and not really bringing to expression the things that are in our depths. I have a book on my shelf, an old book really, written by John Powell, I think. Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? Well, of course, I know why I'm afraid to tell you who I am. If I really told you who I was, if I really dared to reveal myself, would you be able still to embrace me? Could you still love me? Or with Job's friends, would you begin to perhaps defend God or whatever? Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? That's part of the deep anguish of human suffering, to feel isolated and alone with no one to whom to reach out and to reveal the anguish within. Jesus understood that. And on that night in which he was betrayed, he sat at table with his disciples. It may have been the Passover feast, or it may have been the night before Passover, but in any case, it was at Passover time, and it was that gathering around the table, which was the annual celebration. And I chose Luke's story because of what seems to be a rather peripheral little side note, I suppose, and yet it's the kind of thing I wanted to say tonight. Jesus sits at table, and then in the 15th verse he says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. I have desired with great desire. And the original the word is repeated, used once as a noun and once as a verb, expressing the intensity of that desire, that yearning, that longing. Jesus knows now. There's no question about what lies before him. And so in this dark night of his soul, he gathers around him, with him, those whom he had come to love and to whom he had given himself. And he says, I desire with such great desire to celebrate this feast with you. Because in our darkest moments, we really need another. If there is only someone to whom we can speak, to whom we can reveal ourselves, with whom we can feel so safe that we know that there is nothing that we can reveal about ourselves that will result in our being condemned or judged or rejected, then we can go through just about anything. Job's friends proved flawed at that point, and actually Jesus' friends did too, because when they went from table to the garden, he said, stay with me and pray. And they fell asleep. We do let one another down so often at the point of our greatest need. That need to know that we are not alone, that our darkness is shared, that our pain is being absorbed by another, and that no matter what we are going through, for whatever reason, there still is someone there with us. We can go through almost anything if we're not alone. It was appropriate that this series of Lenten midweek meditations conclude on this night, the theme being the mystery of human suffering. Because Passover is really the Old Testament feast of liberation and freedom and deliverance from the cauldron of human suffering. Sometimes I wonder how I lived so long without seeing some things that are so very plain. But for some reason or other, I know that in my growing up and in my training and in many years of my preaching, I have identified the Lord's Supper with the death of Jesus for our sin, as though it was a feast of atonement or a feast in celebration of atonement. And it's just not the case. There was in the Old Testament a festival of atonement. The great day of atonement was in the seventh month and the tenth day of the month. And it led into a harvest festival, the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. But that wasn't Passover. Passover was the annual celebration of the deliverance from Egypt. And the Exodus was that prime, central event of salvation, when God, with mighty arm, set God's people free from the house of bondage, from the slavery of Egypt. You read the opening chapters of Exodus. You read how the cries of God's people went up to heaven. God heard their cry. The terrible suffering which is duplicated all over our globe tonight. The horrendous measures of a Pharaoh whose power was threatened by the growth and population of this people. An oppressive ruler, an absolute monarch, totally unfeeling. all of the anguish of that Hebrew situation in Egypt, a paradigm of the ongoing suffering of humankind in the midst of history. And finally, God says, enough. And God sets God's people free. And God says to Moses, have the people roast a lamb and be ready to move, because this is the night of freedom. It is the deliverance from the oppressive human situation of bondage. God set God's people free. That is the Old Testament experience to which Jesus connects this which we celebrate tonight. And in the intensity of his own anguish, having suffered what he suffered, and we have looked at that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, if possible, deliver this cup from me. All of the darkness that he had endured, all the suffering that was his lot, all of that gathered now and coming down in heavy shadow upon him, he gathers with those whom he loves. I wonder if he wondered if this Passover he was celebrating or about to celebrate, or this Passover that he thought, I'll never get to celebrate it. I wonder if he wondered if God might do again then what God did in Egypt. Maybe so. Maybe he came to conclude that it was not through his teaching, through his modeling out, that somehow or other he was going to affect the change that had to be affected in the midst of that people. We don't really know, except that we know at this point he knew inevitably that he would die, but would his death be, would it be the means of deliverance and liberation? Would it be the way by which Israel would be set free and then perhaps the whole world? Human suffering, the constant chronicle of darkness. It was true in Egypt in Pharaoh's time. It was true in Jerusalem in Jesus' time. It's true all over our globe tonight. And we come to this Passover Lord's Supper to remember, but also to hope. To remember, to be sure. But the Passover, in its initial celebration, was a feast with sandals and backpacks ready, of a people who were ready to move into a new future. They were ready to go. They were coming out of darkness and they were moving toward the light. They ate bitter herbs. They ate unleavened bread. They didn't forget that from whence they were going to depart, but they knew that they were on their way to something new. And so for us, the Lord's Supper is a Eucharistic feast. It is a feast of thanksgiving because we take bread and break it and we take a cup and pour it, and we know that it cost the life of one who loved us and gave himself for us. But we know that we do this hastily, hasting toward Easter, toward the light, toward resurrection. And so we come, perhaps in our darkness, but we come as a community together, because that's what Jesus intended. so that we would never have to be alone, so that we could take one bread and drink from one cup and know that we were bound together in community, in communion. Because you can endure almost anything if you're not alone. And Jesus would make us brothers and sisters one of another, caring for one another, supporting one another, being there for one another, knowing that in this darkness the light will dawn, experiencing here in the bread broken and the cup shared, the community in communion that will enable us to move into the dawn of Easter. I experienced the breaking of bread and the sharing of a cup in a remarkable way a couple of months ago. Before I went on vacation, I told you that a friend of many of us, Ernie Van Dam, Ernie and Doris, who were here for many years, that Ernie was on the threshold of death, and he was. And I did not think by the time I got down there he would be living. In fact, I anticipated getting down there and coming back for his funeral. We got down there and he had come home. Tubes and sacks and bags and a shadow of himself, but yet it was Ernie, irrepressible Ernie. And then, in the middle of our stay, we got a call from a couple of other of our people, Marilyn and Weldy Brummels, who wanted to stop and see Ernie. And at that time, it was such that 15 or 20 minutes was enough, but I said, well, meet us at the gate and we'll meet you there and we'll go in together. Because I had something up my sleeve. I brought a shirt with tabs along with me, not to wear at the pool, but just in case. And so we came together and I said to Doris, open a bottle of wine and give me some bread. And there, the six of us, Ernie in his hospital bed, the sacks and tubes and things, we broke the bread. We shared a cup. I hugged him. I kissed him. All of us weeping together, loving each other, made one with bread and cup. So I don't know whether Ernie will be back here or not, but I know that together we experience the possibility in the darkness and the vulnerability and the mortality of the human situation, of that which lifts and enables us to transcend all of that. And it happens at a rail like this, with a table like this, people like this. You can go through almost anything if you're not alone.